Hi, and welcome to Housewives of True Crime.
Welcome.
Welcome. I am Tabitha. Give me Dateline, white wine, and I'll pick up your kids in the carpool line.
The next day, right?
Yeah, the next day.
Okay. And I am Gretchen. I like white wine, true crime, and in bed by 9 because I have a lot of stuff to do in the morning.
We are Housewives of True Crime.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. Welcome.
Welcome.
Housewives of True Crime.
Hi. Happy St. Patrick's Day. That's the day we're recording this. We're very ahead of schedule.
1 week early. Yeah. We should have actually said Happy St. Patrick's Day on the last episode.
Oh, we probably should have. Yeah, because it aired on St. Patrick's Day. I know. But Tab's got to go have a fun spring break.
Yes, it's spring break. And so we're going to the mountains.
Yeah.
Mountain climbing. I'm also coming out to the California. I don't think I told you yet.
You certainly did not.
I didn't. And so it's my mom's 65th birthday.
Happy birthday, Deb. That's a big one.
It is a big one. And it's my son's 13th birthday.
That's a big one too.
I know. And so we are just going to make a little stopover for a birthday party. You are invited.
Thanks.
And it's on Saturday night. So if you can make it to the Ventura, we will be there.
Great. Mm-hmm. Let's chat details later.
We will. But it just all came together like 5 minutes ago. So
listen, I've been so busy lately, you know, and you know how last week you were so proud of me for getting to the gym at 5 a.m.
Yes. Have you done it since?
No.
It's like a one and done.
I think I pulled a muscle.
Oh my gosh.
I had to take Motrin for like 3 days just to like,
I think that it wasn't a pulling a muscle. I think you were just sore from not working out for so long.
I think it was a combination of both. But you know what happened when I was there is the instructor said that they're training for like a triathlon or something. Mm-hmm. Like not a real one. Like this is Orange Theory. So it's like on machines.
Oh, right, right. Yeah.
And I was so offended by this. He said, I just really want to know how many people are interested in going because I know the 940 class. Those aren't my triathletes. That's usually me, 940.
Yeah.
So I'm like, that's how you roll? You be talking smack?
I think that the 940 class is like moms. You know, they drop off their kids and then they come and they're
so
like,
judgy.
Yeah, we're not going to be swimming in the ocean for any triathlon, except for I did a triathlon, but I'm just saying. Hey, your shirt's going to be like weird. Okay, well, if you want to do a triathlon, you should try.
Oh, no, I would never.
Oh, okay. Well, it's something to strive for one day, maybe.
Oh, okay.
Maybe a 5K.
I've done a 5K. I've done a 10K. I think I've done it with you.
Okay. Well, great.
I just don't like to be told that I wouldn't because I go to class a little later.
I know. I actually don't believe the 940 crowd wouldn't do it.
Yeah, and it just feeds into all my insecurities that those people that go at 5 a.m. are like super judgy of the people that go later.
Well, you know, they have this whole thing on Instagram right now about the 5 a.m. club. And so
I saw that.
Yeah. So I think he's just like, oh, if you can get here at 5 a.m., you're kind of a level up than everybody else in the world.
Yeah. I mean, I have tried. I do think there is really something to that whole getting up early and having the routine. You know, Rachel Hollis, that girl, she really preaches that situation. And I've done it for like a week at a time.
Was it working out for Rachel Hollis? I think sometimes maybe it doesn't.
It's working out for her now, I think. You know, she got remarried and everything.
Yeah.
I get tired later.
At the end of the night, I know. And then the husband's like,
nobody likes me. Yeah. So it's like, I don't know. But go 5 a.m. club if that's your jam. Okay, whatever. You want to hear my case?
I certainly do.
Okay.
Also, before we get started, really quick, Gretchy, we needed to tell everybody thank you for signing up for Patreon and Clink Clink Club. If you have not done so yet, it is very easy. You get all of our episodes ad-free and a little bit early, and you get an extra bonus episode on Thursdays and one bonus crime a month. So it's really, really worth it, and it helps support us, and we support you with your true crime needs, and that's on Clink Clink Club on Apple or the bonus on Spotify, or if you just go to patreon.com/housewivesoftruecrime. One more quick thing. If you guys wouldn't mind following us on all of our social media platforms, we're really trying to work on getting more engagement and we are putting stuff up all the time. So we would love it if you follow us there, Housewives of True Crime on all handles. And then I have a personal one, Tab the Housewife, and Gretchen is going to have one soon also. That's it. Clink, clink.
Clink, clink.
Now I'm ready for your case.
Okay. Today's episode involves a mother-daughter duo. The mother is a woman named Kelly Moore, and the daughter is a young lady named Ainsley Tucker Moore Reed.
It's one of those.
It's a name. Yeah, it's a mouthful. It's one of those names that sounds like you would see it in the society pages, like Ainsley Tucker Moore Reed announces her engagement to Ashton Clifford Wellington. You know, that's what it reminds me of. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But Miss Moore Reed just went by Tucker, okay, which is a name I love, and I've never heard it being used for a girl. But I'm not mad at it.
No, yeah. I like it. Liz's son's name is Tucker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so in 2016, Tucker lived in Jacksonville, Oregon with her mama at the age of 26. Jacksonville is a small town, about 3,000 people live there outside of Medford, Oregon. It's a very pretty area in southern Oregon, off the 5, driven through it many times. Tucker and her mama found themselves cohabitating there by way of a very interesting and kind of very broken road. Tucker was the first of three children her parents, Dan and Kelly, welcomed to the world. Dan and Kelly co-wrote a book that was published a month before Tucker was born in 1989. Hmm. The book is titled Deadly Medicine, and it's about a nurse that kills babies.
And it was just because they wanted to write a book about nurses that kill babies?
It's interesting, right? Yeah. Like, I like a thriller. That plot is not my jam, but it gives me vibes that this is what they were working on together while expecting their first child.
Yeah, that's also weird. Although I did watch a lot of Forensic Files and stuff like that.
Yeah,
when I was pregnant.
Me too. 100%. But the nurse, that's different than a nurse killing babies.
Yes, I don't think I could do that. Something about that. I mean, we can't even talk about children at all. So, yeah.
And our feelings about that started when we started having them.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying.
So that's why it's weird. Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, it was actually a really successful publication, Tab. It was made into a TV movie in 1991. That's a big deal.
Lifetime? Was it on Lifetime?
It was on NBC. Mm. But I feel like Lifetime might have bought it down the line. It looks like that kind of jam. Okay. But more movie deals were not in the stars for Kelly, and neither was staying married to Dan till death do they part. So by 2001, Kelly and Dan Reed had divorced. It doesn't sound like either Kelly or Dan walked away with much financial stability, but fortunately, Kelly's parents generously bought a beautiful historical home in town for Kelly and the children to live in Jacksonville, where they had a 120-acre ranch on the outskirts of town. So now Kelly is in the thick of raising three kids as a single mama. And I think since, you know, Deadly Medicine turned out to be kind of the peak for Kelly's literary spot, light. Mm-hmm. She turned to channeling her dreams into Tucker. And for a while, it seemed like the sky was the limit for Kelly's daughter. Tucker is brimming with talent. She excelled in academics and performing arts in high school. Both Tucker and Mama Kelly are very smart ladies. Before Kelly took up writing, she was a practicing lawyer. And Tucker was a lot more than just, you know, theatrically talented. She was the editor of the high school newspaper. Hmm. She wrote stuff that got awards.
Wow.
And she was even in a band. So
outside of school, not the school.
Outside
band,
of school. Outside of school. The cool girl. Okay. So following high school, Tucker attended the USC University.
Southern California.
Some people call it spoiled children, but same. Both talking about the same place.
Same place.
Same place.
Very true, because it is so expensive to go there.
For real. Yeah.
And it's kind of in not the best area in Los Angeles, if anybody wants to know, if they have not been there.
Yeah. Well, it's very prestigious. Wouldn't you agree? Yes. Okay.
I would agree. I would also agree if you have had somebody that goes there in your lineage, more likely you'll get in.
It helps. Yeah. I would agree. Okay, well, Tucker studied theater and cinema. Well, I tend
to place to do it.
That's the place. Yeah, I know. I think like Spielberg donated like a buttload or something to it. Yeah. Okay. While attending USC, Tucker was involved in a very unfortunate situation. Basically, she publicly accused her boyfriend of rape. She wrote a blog where she named him and included pictures of him. And neither the university or the police would file charges against him when she reported it. But here's the thing. She reported it 2 years after it allegedly happened, which was 6 weeks after they broke up.
Okay. So she still was with him after the rape.
Yes.
For 2 years. And then
these things can be very messy, but you can see why they would not accept charges, right? You know, like they operate on black and white.
The '90s or late or early 2000s, something around there.
Around 2008, I think.
Okay.
Okay. Maybe later, a little later, but sometime around then.
Okay.
Okay. So when they didn't accept her, you know, charges, Tucker held a press conference. She started a coalition. Being like a rape advocate became kind of her thing.
Okay.
She wrote articles about it that were published in magazines like Cosmopolitan.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Big time.
Well, in the process of her becoming this big deal rape advocate, she really put this guy on blast, and he retaliated in the form of a libel suit. And they settled out of court, and it's reported that she had to take down her blog, but I found a transcript of it pretty easily, and it included the guy's name. So if Tucker's intention was for her accusation to loom over him forever, I think she got her wish. But at a really steep price, because I think the whole situation derailed her, so to speak. She dropped out of USC in 2014. Okay, so I was wrong about the dates.
Okay.
And moved back up to Oregon. Well, the accused boyfriend stayed and graduated.
Okay.
So is what it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, after Tucker got to Oregon, there was more unrest for her. Her mama, Kelly, that she had moved in with, had a beefy beef going on with her brother, Shane, and Tucker got mixed up in it. The situation was Kelly, it doesn't sound, is a fan of working your typical 9-to-5 job. Lots of people aren't, but most of us expect.
you and I are not either, by the way.
Well, yeah, it's because of the children, but we still do something. Right.
I know, but I'm saying it's not a 9-to-5.
It's not a 9-to-5.
But our husbands are sure 9-to-5. Like, well, they're way more than 9-to-5ers, but
yeah.
They're like 9-to-9ers.
Yeah. Sometimes it sounds easier. Like, if I just didn't have the children here all the time, like my house would stay clean. Somebody else did their homework with them. And I just came home at 6. Made dinner.
No, your dinner probably would already be done.
I mean, okay. I know it's not that simple, but you know,
no, I know
a girl can dream.
Yes, yes. Okay.
Okay.
So Kelly's not into the 9-to-5
she's
either.
She's not
so
into that.
What does she do instead?
Kelly didn't have to do anything to Ab, really, because she was enabled by her mama, Lori, who kind of sponsored her life.
Okay. So Lori is Tucker's grandma.
Yes, correct. Okay. Well, you know how that goes. When siblings start to be thinking one is mooching while the others are working,
it can get
a little bitter. This is why she's got the problem with her brother. Okay.
Right.
Well, Kelly had a complete fallout with another sibling of hers named Ryan, who, according to him, confronted her about her living off his mother and his thoughts on that. Mm-hmm. Shane, Kelly's sibling that lives in town that she currently had the beefy beef with, also was on Mama Lori's payroll, but Ryan did not have a problem with him doing so. That is because the property that Lori lived on was 120 acres and Shane did the caretaking for it. And he also like cared for the dad or grandpa up until he had passed away.
Okay.
Okay. Took him to doctor's appointments, all that stuff. And he took care of grandma, like did her shopping for her in addition to all the property maintenance. And there's a lot to do.
Right.
So I can see why Shane's not having a 9-to-5 job did not rub Ryan the wrong way, because it doesn't sound like Shane actually has an aversion to work. He kept busy and he also had a little side hustle that I'm not sure was super legal at the time, growing the marijuana. But, you know, I'm not judgy about that.
I don't think it was legal at the time.
Maybe not. Maybe
he had some medical situation going on. I don't know, but
Kelly's real judgy about it.
Okay.
Okay. She did not care for the weed growing on her mama's property. I also have heard her accuse Shane of procuring the methamphetamines as well, but I don't get meth vibes from him. And I didn't see any drug related charges on his record. Uh-huh. I mean, he might have a history with meth, but I couldn't find it.
Okay.
So I think perhaps Kelly got that a little twisted, which is not super surprising because there's just no love lost between Kelly and Shane. How Tucker got in the mix was on one occasion they were doing some arguing and Shane picked up a plastic quart of oil and threw it at the door and it went through the screen and hit her in the face. Kelly says Tucker is permanently scarred from the incident, but I don't see any evidence of that actually being the case.
Mm-hmm.
Tucker pressed charges against her uncle after that happened and she got a no contact order against him. So that escalated Kelly and Shane's beef for sure. But the root of it was because of a couple dealings that had to do with money. Kelly had sent some loggers to the property to cut down some trees because she would financially, you know, benefit from them doing so. Logging is like lucrative.
Yeah.
Remember we did that tree farming case?
Yeah.
It's a good one. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Shane stopped them when they showed up at the property and she did not like that. She also did not like that her mama intended to leave half of her 120 acre property to Shane. Mama Lori intended to leave the other half to Kelly and the house in town where Kelly lived, but Kelly wanted it all. That seems a little entitled, Kelly.
Yes. Yeah. Kelly, you're already living for free.
I know.
And you've got to share with your siblings.
And you're getting your life sponsored. Yeah.
Listen, you know what? I just took my kids to the store like 5 minutes ago before I saw you,
mm-hmm.
or before I'm like looking at you right now. And they were fighting the entire freaking time. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking that in this story, like this is what you do with your children as they grow up. You try to teach them not to fight so that when they're adults, they are better. I don't know. Like they learn how to share as children. And then when they get older, they share. But it doesn't happen that way. It's like people are always children.
Well, there's a little more to it in that Mama Lori had also mortgaged her property as a way to keep providing Kelly with cash. Well, that mortgage like diminishes the value that comes out of like Shane's inheritance. So he's not liking that or liking Kelly.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm imagining your lovely children are not going to be fighting because you're going to be like dividing things up equally. So there's nothing for them to fight about.
Listen, we shall see. Like who is going to be good adult children?
Well, if you do that, then they end up getting crazy.
Well, what if I have a drug addict child? I'm not going to be giving them anything, you know? That's what I'm saying.
God forbid.
I do not think it's going to happen. I'm just saying.
Right.
I've seen it happen. And so I am not going to be like enabling any, you know, any of that.
Okay.
Methamphetamine business.
Don't be enabling that business, but also don't be enabling the like aversion to work in business either, I think.
100%.
Right? Yeah, yes. Get a fucking job. Okay. So Shane's not liking this whole like mortgage business. You know, it's diminishing like his inheritance. So what he wanted was something called a grant deed. The grant deed would allow Mama Lori to sign over Shane's half of the property now, and then it would all be done. And then when she passed, he could sell his half and not have to deal with Kelly. Lori agreed to do so. So Shane scheduled a notary to come out to the property and get the document signed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Kelly knew this notary was coming, but she claims she was under the impression that this was about her mom signing an update to her will. And she wanted to add what she calls adulterated language to it. You know, she knows all those terms because she was a lawyer.
Right.
She wanted to add things like if anything happened to her or her property, Shane was responsible for that, he would be disinherited altogether. Well, on the surface, that sounds like okay, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe that'll keep the peace. But also to me, it sounds like it's a pretty easy way to like set somebody up to screw them out of a lot of money. Like if that language had been added, all she would have to do was like slash her tires and accuse Shane of it. Right?
Yeah.
And then it's like, so I wouldn't be into that either.
No.
So it sounds sneaky, and I don't really blame Shane for just wanting his piece now and, you know, knowing what he's up against. Well, Kelly says she genuinely wanted that language included because she feared Shane. Maybe that's why her and Tucker made a plan to have an easily accessible gun loaded and ready to go for the meeting with the notary. But I can't tell you that for sure. It's because Kelly really feared Shane. I can tell you it appears that Shane feared Kelly because that morning, Tucker got the gun out and shot it. Shane called the police and asked them if they could send a sheriff out because his niece had just fired a gun and he was expecting a notary later and he didn't want there to be any trouble. But the problem is that the property is real out of the way and the police didn't feel like anything had really happened. So they never came.
And where did she just shot it in?
Shot it like in the front yard.
Okay.
So this unknowing about all kinds of beef notary drives out to the property that is way outside of town where there's no cell service and sits down with Kelly and Lori. Tucker was there too, filming with her phone. When Kelly claims she realizes it's a grant deed, she rips it up, like four pieces, rips it up. Shane watched because he wasn't allowed inside the house while Tucker was, you know, inside the house. So he stood outside. According to the notary, Shane walked over to the door. Kelly went to the door as well. Tucker followed her mama to the door with the gun. The notary says she does not think Shane was attempting to get in the house. He was standing a few feet back and she heard Kelly ask him, "What is this all about, Shane? She thought that you were signing a will." And Shane says, like, "No, that's not what we were talking about. Why would we sign a will?" Mm-hmm. There's a lot of yelling between Tucker and Kelly and Shane, and it's like getting really awkward for the notary when all this is going down. She just starts talking to Grandma Lori.
Yeah.
And so she doesn't see what happened next, but she heard it. What happened?
The gun went off.
Yeah. Tucker shot Shane in the chest fatally.
Oh, God.
This poor notary, Carla, is amazing. She manages to call 911 from the landline. She tells them that someone has been shot, send an ambulance, and she handed the phone to Grandma Lori and bounced from the scene.
Oh, my gosh.
She says Shane's body was 4 or 5 feet from the door. So clearly, it's not looking like he was actually trying to get inside the house when Tucker shot him. Side note. I think the whole virtual notary thing is so cool. Carla, I hope that is like your new profession.
Yeah.
Because I worry about these notaries going out there to the middle of nowhere, you know?
Totally. Yeah, you don't know what's going on.
You don't need to be putting your life on the line. You just make ever sure everybody has an interweb connection. Okay. Yeah. So now when the police get there, Kelly and Tucker tell them it was self-defense. Of course, police still want them to come down for some questioning.
Yeah.
Carla, the notary, also gave her version of events and apologized for fleeing the scene, but explained that she was scared.
Dude, I would not. I am out. You guys are something crazy and I'm not here for it. Like, I did not sign up for any guns being present in this situation here.
Oh, yeah. No shame in Carla's fleeing the scene game. Okay. So now her version was different than Kelly and Tucker's version. Kelly and Tucker say that he was trying to get into the house. Tucker says it was like a horror movie, which is ironic, and I will explain that in a minute. But the evidence at the scene is not aligning with their story because I told you his body was away from the door, and the police knew that he had called earlier that day and said he wanted things peaceful. When Tucker and Kelly learned at the station about the call that Shane had made earlier, you know, that caught them off guard. So they're like sweating it.
Yeah.
Tucker admits she had fired a gun that day. And it was the same gun that she fired into her uncle the same day. But she says that she just fired that gun earlier the day because she just felt like firing a gun.
Yeah.
And well, there was all there was to it.
How many times are you firing a gun just because? I mean, I've never done that ever.
Right. Right. Well, law enforcement kind of saw the warm-up firing of the gun as like premeditation, and the fact
you're figuring out how to fire the gun.
Of course.
Yes.
Yeah. And she loaded the gun again after she fired it, which they knew because when they retrieved it, there was only one bullet missing. So that's looking kind of premeditative as well.
Sus, they would say.
Sus. Yeah.
Do you have a child that is struggling with a topic at school? IXL Learning is an online learning program that enriches your homeschool curriculum. It offers practice in math, English, language arts, science, and social studies while adapting to each child, meeting them where they are. Maybe your child is like mine and has a hard time asking for help in class. And when I try to help after school, it can take forever trying to get to the point of the concept she's just not grasping so she can move on. IXL is a huge help with this because of the way it's designed. Everything on IXL is organized by grade, subject, topic, and subtopic, making it simple to find activities for the exact skills you are covering. And research shows kids that use IXL score higher on tests and improve their grades. It will work for any of your kids because it's powered by advanced algorithms, so IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter their age or personality. And with one subscription, you get everything. One site for all the kids in your home from pre-K to 12th grade. And it's such a super value. A single hour of tutoring costs more than a month of IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and Housewives of True Crime listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Do you ever look back on how you've spent money and thought, I wonder what would have happened if I would have invested that? I have definitely spent my fair share on impulse buys that could have added up if I had invested instead. You know, people say that's why the best investor is a dead investor. Why? Because dead investors can't make rash decisions. They can't pull their money out in a panic every time they hear about a dip in the market. Dead investors are invested for the long term, you know, because they're dead. Well, Acorns is built to help you invest for the long term, and you don't even need to be dead. You can start automatically investing with the spare change you've got right now, even if it's just spare change. Let time do its thing, because the longer you stay invested, the more of a chance your money has to grow. Sign up now and join the over 13 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $22 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/clink or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC and SEC-registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorn.com/clink. Hey guys, remember when I told you about the True Diagnostics True Age Test? Well, I've got more details about this cutting-edge way to measure your biological age because it's seriously cool. The True Age Test is done at home, so no doctor visits or big needles, just a quick, painless finger prick. With the at-home kit, True Age analyzes hundreds of thousands of markers on your DNA using epigenetics to reveal your true biological age and how fast you're aging compared to normal. By the way, up to 90% of aging is driven by lifestyle and environment, not just genetics, which means knowing this information gives you the power to improve. True Age tells you how fast 11 key organ systems are aging, including your heart, brain, lungs, liver, and more. Ever wondered if your heart is older or younger than you are? Now you'll know. You'll also get a breakdown of 75 plus key longevity biomarkers, things like metabolic health, immune response, and even risk factors for certain conditions. True Age was developed by doctors and scientists from Harvard, Yale, and Duke, so these insights are backed by some serious science. The test is super easy and convenient. You send off that tiny sample in a prepaid package, and in about 2 to 3 weeks, you'll get a detailed online report about your aging and health. Fast and hassle-free. If you're serious about longevity or just curious about what your body's real age is, head over to truediagnostic.com and use my code CLINK to get 20% off your entire order. This is your chance to take control of your aging and make every year count more for your health. Visit TrueDiagnostic.com and use code CLINK at checkout to get 20% off.
So Tucker asked for a lawyer. Kelly didn't, but she ended her questioning before the officer would have preferred. But while she was answering questions, she was so combative with the officer questioning her. It's pretty unbelievable. First, she's like, "My brother has been terrorizing me. You men will never understand what it's like to be a woman. You never understand what it's like to be terrorized." And she says to him that she's never had experience with police where they didn't lie. And the officer is like, "Well, I don't lie, Kelly. I'm just trying to get your story.
Yeah.
And you're insulting my integrity." Like, he was real calm. And she's real amped. Okay. Now, I'm not saying you need to like brown nose police. Okay. But you know, you can wear flies with honey. Okay. Like, maybe not be so like every experience I've had with police, they lied. It's probably not a good way to go into a police interview. Okay. Okay.
And how many times have you been interviewed by police, Kelly?
Yeah. I mean, it's like,
that also has not happened to me very many times.
Totally.
Or right? ever.
You know, yeah. That's a good point. Well, I think that Kelly just likes to be pushy to get her way. She's one of those. So the police decided to arrest and charge Tucker with manslaughter. Kelly bailed her out, you know, within a day, and Tucker was back home. You know, trials and such can take a while. So Tucker had some time to kill, no pun intended, while she waited. And so she thought now was as good a time to, you know, get back into the performing arts. But it might be kind of tricky if they looked her up and found out she was on bail. So she used a different name. She used the name Wynn Reed. So she gets involved with a local theater company. She landed the starring role. The director was very impressed with her talent, but not really her backstage behavior. Apparently, she was like very particular about, you know, like costumes. She called in sick a lot, missed rehearsals, and the director didn't like that. But she says also that Wynn would get upset, and she would say that she needed her advocate to be there with her. And her advocate, they were told, was a relative. That's all they were told. But it was her mama, Kelly. Okay. And then she would come and they would all, you know, like have to discuss whatever, like the latest, like bee in her bonnet was. So the director says it was really a lot to work with her, but she really did think that she was an extraordinary talent and she wanted the playwright to see the talent for himself. And so he flew out from New York City to see Wynn, also known as Tucker, perform. Well, you know, that's a big deal for Mr. Big Shot playwright to fly out to Medford, Oregon, you know, for one night only to see what he has heard is like a rising star giving new life to his work. So surely she's not going to pull any of this like extraness,
right,
that she's been pulling on this occasion. Well, she did. She called in sick. But she next leveled it and said that she was in the hospital on IV painkillers and she can't perform, which like that just like doesn't even make sense to me. Okay. Try like IV fluids, right?
IV painkillers sounds like
fun. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I just don't know why you would say that. Okay. Well, whatever. Without a leading lady, it was a case where the show cannot go on. And so the director arranged for the rest of the cast to do a table reading for the, you know, playwright guy that was in town. Mm-hmm. And then lo and behold, Wynn and her advocate, Kelly, show up looking well with like flowers for the playwright. Well, this director, she was not having it. And she told her, "No, sorry, it would be irresponsible for us to let you perform. We made other arrangements. Bye."
Oh, good.
Yeah, she's the type of lady that's not going to be enabling like some grown daughter to be like living off of their income. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I like it. Well, Wynn did not take the news well. She created quite the upset. She started making accusations of all kinds of harassment that she said she had experienced at the theater. The director said that she actually had to like threaten to call the police to get Wynn and the advocate to leave. You know, she finally left. And that was the end of her performing at the theater. Now, these incidents, like the accusations Tucker made at USC and then followed them by holding a press conference, which can be seen as like threatening to the university. And then the theater incident where she doesn't get her way and she leaves in a dramatic fashion after threatening them could be mutually exclusive to what happened with Uncle Shane. Or it could be a deranged pattern of victimizing herself for self-serving reasons. I am sorry to say, I kind of lean towards the latter.
The latter?
Yeah. Because there's more than just those like three incidents. But what really convinces me that this pattern is like a pattern is the tantrum likeness that Tucker continually displays. It's bizarre. She is a grown woman that throws fits and requires like her mommy to like advocate for her. It's not good additionally that her mommy has an aversion to work. So like maybe that's her motivation to co-sign on all these outbursts because she'd be liking the litigation, which may be lucrative for her at some point. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it's just because she doesn't work. So she's addicted to the drama of always having beef with people. It's probably a combination of both.
I think it's both.
Maybe, right?
Yeah.
Well, the debacle at the theater was not the end of Wynn's local acting career. There was an independent horror film. Here's the irony. Okay. Filming in the area, and Wynn got herself the leading role.
Stomp it. She must be a good actress.
She is a good actress.
Yeah.
Now, playing a role in a horror film where you have to shoot someone in self-defense while you are out on bail for shooting someone while you are claiming self-defense turns out probably not a great idea. Okay.
But she's probably really good at acting that out because it's already actually happened.
Oh, yeah.
In life.
Right?
It's not even acting anymore.
Draw from experience. Yes. The movie is called From the Dark, and you can stream it on Amazon. When Tucker arrived as Wynn to make the movie, there was a woman there who had gone to high school with her and had done high school theater with her. And so this woman was familiar with Wynn, Tucker, and Kelly. Tucker and this woman, Mig, were both around 26 at this time, and they were still Facebook friends. They had been since high school. But Tucker acted like she did not know her face when she saw Mig, and Mig just went with it.
So Mig just acted like,
yeah, she didn't know why Tucker was posing as Wynn, but she felt like she must have a good reason.
Okay.
Now, in fairness, Mig wrote a blog and said on it that she thinks this case has been widely sensationalized because of the irony of Tucker being in a horror movie on bail. You know, it reads like killer actress, plays killer role, etc.
Yeah.
Actually, I can see that.
Right? It's kind of like the lady that wrote the novel about murdering her husband and then she murdered her husband.
Yeah, like you're kind of setting yourself up for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So from her point of view, she says Tucker was professional and a very gracious scene partner, a good conversationalist, though they never discussed high school or the possibility that they had known each other in the past. A woman she introduced as only her, quote, relative showed up to help with costumes, hair, and makeup. Being in the same room as the pair of them made me feel like I was back in high school. It was hard to not refer to them as Tucker and Kelly. There they were again, great to work and converse with. Okay.
Okay.
Kelly, actually, I found, responded in the comments to Mig's blog. Mig, I can't tell you how much I appreciate this thoughtful and very kind post about Tucker and me. In the endless slogging through this kind of legal battle, one begins to feel crazy and always under attack. This post is a small oasis of the level-headed fellow feeling that sounds like the response of a rational person. She goes on to defend Tucker, calling Shane massively high on meth at the time. I have not seen any proof of Kelly's claims in anything I read. And there is this video of Shane right before he was shot. And he does not appear to be irrational or heated or amped up or however you would imagine someone massively high on meth would be acting.
Yeah.
So I will circle back to the role the video played, but I want to get back to this horror movie situation.
Lady listeners, Could your daily routine be full of hormone disruptors? It sure can. You know, there are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now, in our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, and they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the natural hormonal changes our bodies go through. Perimenopause, menopause, and while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean we have to suffer through it. The good news is that we don't have to suffer through it anymore because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier, and that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony is a phenomenon. Women can't stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds, y'all. Hormone Harmony has been part of my routine in 2024 and will continue to be in 2025 because, simply put, it makes me feel better. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use code CLINK at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code CLINK for 15% off today.
So the filming wraps and Meg never outs Wynn as being Tucker, but Tucker started seeing someone on the cast. And so she let it slip. She had a little manslaughter situation going on. Well, that guy let the filmmaker know. And when the filmmaker, who had dumped like all his money and dreams into this project, found out, he's not thrilled. Okay.
No.
Because he imagined it wouldn't get picked up by theaters or festivals, you know, because of its association with actual true
crime. And he's right? Oh, God.
It's yes debatable. No. Yes and no. Okay. Also, it never feels good to be tricked into believing a false identity.
No.
Yeah? She had created a Wynn profile for herself in order to make her new identity believable. And, you know, it was.
Yeah.
Well, when the film's producer had learned of Tucker's status on bail, you know, word got around quickly to the rest of the cast and crew. And initially, they were supportive of Wynn, despite being sort of deceived by her. Their support was based on Tucker saying that she had defended herself and her mother against her meth-crazed uncle that had previously assaulted her. Some of them showed up to support their leading lady in court because Tucker was rearrested and recharged with murder instead of manslaughter. Now, how that came to be was the detective on the case had been getting word that basically Tucker and Kelly had a bit of a reputation for being perpetual victims around town that pushed their agendas through, you know, gaslighting of sorts. Mm-hmm. Also, Shane had a roommate who came forward after the shooting to let them know Shane was afraid of them. Not the other way around. But still, the bizarre mother-daughter pattern of, you know, gaslighting, maybe not so desirable behavior was not enough to convince the DA to charge Tucker with murder instead of manslaughter. Tucker can thank herself for that. It happened because a few weeks before Tucker was going to go to trial, her own attorney gave the DA the video that Tucker filmed during the incident. I'm going to play you a clip from it.
Okay.
The video is blurry and does not show the actual moment she fires the gun. What it does show is what the notary had explained happened. He's just standing outside, not trying to enter, and you hear Tucker's narration of what's happening, and it sounds to me like there was a premeditated plan to shoot him all along, and that's why she's setting the tone of the video.
Got it.
A will. This is a grantee. You're not signing a grantee, Mother.
No, I do. You understand what a grantee is?
He's coming into the house. God damn it. Pick up the gun.
She's not signing a grantee, Shane. I thought it was a will. She's not signing a grantee.
Yeah. You son of a bitch.
She's not signing a grantee. It's father property.
She says she's signing it.
Yeah, if you
told her.
Get out of here. Jesus!
Okay, so, and then, remember, she went to the police and told them how terrified she was. Well, if you were so terrorized, wouldn't you have put the phone down that you were filming with? Right? Also, she told the police after the shooting that she didn't plan on shooting him because she had thought you had to cock the gun for it to go off. Well, you don't do that with this gun. It's a 38 revolver. And mm-hmm. we know Tucker knew that because she admitted she shot that gun that day.
Yeah, yes. She knew.
But initially, this is what she's saying, that she didn't know. So that makes you also think like this was all the plan.
Pants on fire.
Yeah. She didn't know that part about, you know, Shane was going to making that phone call was going to come up.
Yeah.
When she made her initial statement. So at this court hearing, they went over all of this information, and it was clear to everyone in the courtroom, including the cast and crew from the film that had come to support her, that, you know, her pants were on fire in 2019. And so Tucker lost a lot more than support from the cast and crew that day. She lost her freedom because the judge did not grant her bail this time, and she lost her shit. When they took her away, you can still hear her screaming in the hall.
Ooh.
The judge was pretty pissed additionally and kind of railed on her because she heard Tucker saying that she was pissed that it was taking him so long to die.
No way.
Yeah. Her and Kelly both were like, is he dead yet? Yeah. So it's...
And they could hear this on the...
I think you can hear Tucker say it once, okay. But then Kelly says it during questioning. She says like, I am not sorry. And the notary testified, oh yeah, they wanted him dead.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that doesn't boast well for someone who is claiming it was accidental.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you gotta be remorseful.
It's not accidental.
Yeah.
Who goes
yeah.
to the door with a gun anyways?
Yeah. So she is... Tucker sent back to the clink, and she stayed there a while before there was a resolution regarding her charges. She went through a couple of attorneys, and then there was COVID. And then finally, there was a plea deal she agreed to, and it's a surprising one. The DA decided to drop the murder charge in exchange for Tucker pleading guilty to manslaughter 2. The reasoning behind that is explained as they didn't know which way it would go. It would be easy to portray Shane as a bad guy because of the, you know, earlier assault, you know, Tucker mm-hmm. says like happened, and also his unconventional lifestyle with the marijuana. Okay. And Tucker is a hell of an actress. You know, like they saw her perform and they were like, holy, like, we don't want to go to trial with this girl. Right? They got a big dose of her theatrics in court. So Tucker was sentenced to 6 years, including time served. And she is now a free woman at the age of 35.
She is lucky duck, man.
She is lucky duck. She filed a lawsuit against her lawyer who gave the incriminating video to the DA. I mean, she might have a point there.
Except for the fact that this is where
I'm not saying it's justice, but I'm just saying that that lawyer and her should not be friends.
That's probably true. But this is where you get into, if you're a defense attorney, where you're like, oh, but they're a bad person. And so what do you do?
Oh, yeah, I know.
I don't know.
Okay. So there were never any charges filed against Kelly. As far as I can tell, Grandma Lori, with all the property, is still alive. And when she passes, Kelly stands to inherit it all.
Stop.
Well, yeah. Because now, like, she's getting her way. Shane is dead.
But didn't she have another sibling? You said she had a...
She does have another... Grandma was never going to leave him any money, and he didn't want it anyways. He's like, I made my own way in life. I don't need it.
Holy moly. Wow.
So in the comments on articles,
and Grandma's still alive.
Yeah, I think she's like 90s. So
because
I mean,
they
I don't
were
know
like planning this chick's death for like now 20 years, you guys. Like we're getting on. This happened in 2008, 2011, something like that.
2016.
Oh, okay. Okay. So we're going on 10 years next year. So, yeah. I mean,
so
Lori, maybe give it to charity.
That would be nice. I mean, maybe, who knows what's going to happen, because maybe Kelly is like, I have no idea, but if she was already mortgaging the property to like get cash flow, like back then, maybe she has like she's going to have to sell it and not walk away with much. Mm. Plus Kelly, there's a thing called inheritance tax and you're probably going to get fuzzocked.
Totally.
Okay. So who knows? Anywho, in the comments on articles that I found in like the local papers and stuff, largely people say that justice was not served and that Kelly is diabolical and deserved to be locked up too. But there are a couple of commenters who are really Team Kelly and Tucker.
Wow.
I mean, they might be Kelly and Tucker.
Probably are themselves.
I don't know. I'm not sure how easy it will be to get back into acting for Miss Tucker, but she's also a very talented writer. So maybe she will focus on her literary talents now, you know, come up with a new pen name. As far as the movie From the Dark, I don't know for sure, but I think all the publicity from Tucker's charges
actually helped it.
Yeah.
It's probably true. That happens.
Because now people are fascinated with her and it's streamable.
And I mean, sometimes these like horror movies, come on, let's like be real. They're like the D-list of the D-list movies and they don't get seen or heard
of. The people that made it in their interviews lovely. I tried to watch the movie. I couldn't get through it.
Yeah.
It has good reviews, but you know, horror is just, it's not my thing.
It's not my thing either.
You know what?
Although I just watched this crazy movie. Mm-hmm. The writing was good all the way to the end. So it's like, it's kind of like a B-minus movie, but if you want to watch it, it's pretty entertaining if you don't have anything to do. It's called Companion. I think it's on Netflix or something like that. Horror-ish.
Horror-ish?
Not horror, but it's on like, it's a murdering kind of movie. I'm also watching White Lotus. Just started it because I need to binge a few episodes. It's one of my favorite shows of all time. But I'm three episodes. Yeah, I'm a big fan, but I'm three episodes in of the third season and I'm not
feeling it
as much as the other ones yet, but the endings are always the best. So keeping with it.
Okay. Keep with it. Yeah. Okay. You know who, Tucker is kind of reminding me of?
Who?
Does this make me horrible? Blake Lively.
Oh, no, it does not make you horrible, I think.
Well, I just think like it's like that manipulative, theatrical thing now that we're kind of learning a different
behavior.
Yes.
Yeah.
A little bit like that.
Mm-hmm. Is she pretty like Blake Lively?
Very.
Yeah.
That's the other reason why it's like it is sensationalized. We love it when pretty people commit a crime. It's true.
We love it or we hate it.
We love to hate it.
We love to hate it. I think that's the right word to say, right?
Yeah.
Fascinating. And then you also think like, oh, that could never happen. Like, I think even with Blake Lively, you're like, of course, like this Justin guy is an asshole. He's not even nearly as cute as Blake Lively is, right?
No, but that's not what I thought. I just thought he wasn't. I took her word for it, you know, initially.
Yes.
And then it got more complicated. I think that the whole thing of this is so crazy because it's like, if she wouldn't have made this movie, I'm sure we wouldn't be talking about this. It's not that interesting.
Yeah. Right.
That is what yes.
Yeah.
That's what's so interesting is that she's this like wildly talented actress. So that's why I say it was probably not a good idea to pursue your acting career while you're on bail.
At least in a movie where you're committing the same type of
because she could have just got it. Yeah, she could have just got the manslaughter thing and then gone out and then pursued it later.
And maybe pursue like not horror movie.
Whatever.
I don't know. I guess it's some people's thing, but
it's a movie. Really, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, shoot. If I was in one movie, it'd be cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think I would try not to do horror.
I would do it. I'd do fucking Sharknado. I would do any of it. You know, I would do any of it. I don't care.
I'm just trying to get on Traitors or Survivor people. Like,
oh, okay. Well, some of us have whorish standards and some of us don't.
I'm trying to level up my Price is Right game to the next best game show. Okay.
Okay. Like how she just slid that in. Price is Right, 2-time on-stage contestant.
If I can get picked for
don't
that.
Don't mind if I do. By the way, I won the fucking boat parade. As long as we're bragging.
You did win the boat parade.
Our biggest accomplishments, besides our children.
No, I'm just living for my kids' accomplishments now.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You know, and if they like want to quit a sport, I'm like, you can't do that. Lars, yes. I was like, no.
Yeah. Thankfully, they have me in their mommy's ear going, yes, they're tired. Let them quit.
No. No, because you know what quitting means? Oh my gosh, it means that, you know,
that they're not going to have a nervous breakdown, that they're going to like be like they like have like nice wellness. Yeah, I know what it means.
No, it means that they could get into the marijuana. That's what I'm worried about.
Oh God. Okay.
Speaking about that. Anyways, all right, are we done with this episode?
We're done.
That's a WAP, huh? We haven't said that in a while. Yeah. If you are a previous listener to back in the day, we used to say that's WAP. Anyways, so yeah, if you haven't listened to those previous episodes, go back and listen.
We were fans of the song. We mean exactly what we're saying.
The audio might not be as good, but the cases are. And if you haven't given us a rating or a review on Apple or any of those other things, please do so now. If you watch us on YouTube, please subscribe. Also, if you're listening on Apple or Spotify, just follow us there so you can get our episodes every single week. We come here every Monday for you. And again, on Patreon, our bonus stuff is on Thursdays. So you just need to subscribe to those. And I think that's it. We'll see you Thursday for all of our bonus people. And next week for our Monday edition. Have a wonderful, wonderful week, everybody. Clink, clink.
Clink, clink.